greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight, right here around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. We're also live streaming tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You can download us on your computer, or you can listen to us around the country on the micro rebroadcasters. That's the men and women that are faithfully dedicated to retransmitting or transmitting live into the local communities, the small towns, on the micros. And we're glad of those tonight. We'd like to give them a hearty salute around the nation. Got quite a few micro broadcasters that very, very faithfully broadcast the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. We're glad to have you in here. We're going to get started tonight on a new series, Has the Kingdom Come? We're going to discuss some of the aspects of the kingdom, where it's going to be, what it's going to be about, and the earth and the changes, the coming changes, the victory. The saints are going to possess the kingdom according to Daniel chapter 7. Many exciting things. Can you live forever in paradise on earth? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the ultimate goal that Yahweh had. And then Satan, the evil one, sowed a tear. And a tear came into the world to spring up and to grow until the last day at the coming of the kingdom of God. Now, we're going to discuss two kingdoms and two kingdom aspects, and a lot of people are deceived and a lot of people don't understand about the kingdom process. On the day of Pentecost, it is clearly evident that the kingdom of heaven came down. Now, it wasn't the kingdom of God, literally, to fill the earth and the promises and the covenants, the restoration and the victory to the saints. That was the kingdom within. Now, in Acts, or in Luke 17, verse 20, it says, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The kingdom of heaven cometh not with observation. Now, if the kingdom of heaven don't come with observation, does the kingdom of God, every eye's going to see him when he comes back, like he went away in Acts chapter 2, we find that they seen him, beholding him, as he went up in a cloud, not on a cloud. Christians want to get on a cloud and float like butterflies and go sailing through the air. They talk about the raptures and things of this nature. Well, that ain't scriptural. What's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be a changed kingdom from the kingdom of heaven within to the kingdom of God on earth. Now, that will come with observation. One doesn't come because on the day of Pentecost, nobody's seen the kingdom of heaven come down and place itself on the day of Pentecost, because it came into the people, not onto the earth, but came into the earthen temples at the kingdom of heaven. So you got to understand that. The kingdom is within you, Luke 17:20. Now, you make a note of that. Now we'll discuss the kingdom of God. Is there a place in Yahweh's a system where that you can live forever in paradise, and can you just fathom the joy of having a paradise upon the earth like it was actually meant to be? Like I say, the tear sore. He came in, and there's going to be a day when the tares and the wheat will mature and it will ripen. In other words, in the last days. Now, you know what the Bible says? It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, the kingdom of heaven already came after the Messiah says this in Matthew 6, talking about the kingdom of God, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. So basically, there's two kingdoms. I would like to give you a discernment revelation of the difference between the two. One is spiritual, and the other has to be, in reality, a physical coming. Now, we know that flesh and blood won't inherit that kingdom, but there will be new bodies. You're going to be changed in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. Isn't it wonderful that Yahweh has given you the peace and the joy and the patience? Now, in the patience, you possess your soul. Don't get weary in well-doing. Remember now, you're working your way. Salvation is something that was given to you as a gift, but works maintain and polish and embellish it to make you a rewarder or recipient of the merits of works based on the performance of grace, which is a gift of Yahweh. So the kingdom of heaven came on the day of Pentecost. The kingdom of God has not yet come. It's a promise for a future date. Now, we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. When Peter talks about, behold, the elements shall melt with fervor and heat, and all that therein shall be burned up. Now, we've talked about that before, but I would like to examine it anew within a context of the coming kingdom. Now, there's going to be instantly a new heaven and a new earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the argument is, well, are we going to keep Saturday when we get into the new kingdom, Pastor Buddy, or are we going to keep Sunday? Ladies and gentlemen, I view this ignorant. I mean, it's almost belligerent blasphemy to take the Bible and stretch it around to say something other than the Bible says. And yet they're going to say, oh, we're going to bring you the scriptures against the eighth day Sabbath. Well, wait a minute here. In the Bible, doesn't the Bible speak of an eighth day, and yet they say that's impossible, that's just an illusion, don't listen to that scripture, throw that out. Well, isn't it? Well, here we are, here is I'm a lunar Sabbath proponent, and I stand in defense of Yahweh's word. I don't have to wait, I don't have to take a trip and promise you pie in the sky. I'm telling you right now, that it's an open debate, it ought to be a public debate, and you ought to hide it on some web page. You ought to get it out on the live radio, if that's what you're doing. Why talk about it and promise, and then hide it on a web page somewhere, some obscure. Everybody ain't got a computer. So are they trying to hide it? Because they've gotten a hold of some false lunar calendar? Yeah, there's many false lunar calendars out there, just like the Gregorian calendar is false that recommends Saturday being the seventh day, in this case, for Saturday proponents. You Saturday seventh day proponents are ignorant. I have to say this, and I say it openly in a challenge, that Paul, he was ignorant. It's not a sin to be ignorant, because it'd be better for you not to know the way, or it'd be better for you to be ignorant and remain ignorant. But when the word comes, you have no covering for your sin to remain ignorant. So it's not a sin to be ignorant, it's just a sin to stay ignorant. We have teachers, masters, that are willing, we don't have to wait, we don't have to get on some secret website somewhere and take a trip to a far country and come back and we're on vacation or whatever we're doing, like Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal. Ladies and gentlemen, the lunar calendar, by Yahweh's divine design, placed the lunar calendar for the coming kingdom. Now, I'm going to prove that. Without a shadow of a doubt, and here again, I mean, what do these preachers that come and say, oh, it's wrong, I can prove it's wrong, but I'm going on a journey. I'm going to take a vacation, and when I get back, well, I'm going to blister them. I might just even get on the radio. Well, hunky dory, praise Yahweh, it's about time you put up or shut up. And if the lunar calendar of the Bible, I ain't talking about some man's lunar calendar. We've got our own lunar calendar. If a man can prove it false, we've got $10,000 for any man, including these people that have found error. Look like they would come and get money. You say, oh, you wouldn't give it to me. You just argue with me. That's what the whole debate's all about. The Bereans of Acts 17, they searched not the New Testament, where the promoters of Sabbath, of Saturday come in. It's not an old parchment revelation. It's a new parchment Catholic theology that created the Gregorian calendar and the proponents of the seventh day, which ain't got enough sense to know when the seventh day comes. It comes on the eighth day, beginning after a new moon. They will get the new moon, and they want to debate the scriptures when $10,000 reward for anybody can prove the Sabbath other than 8, 15, 22, and 29? Come on. Bring it on. I've got brothers that haven't been in this movement 2 years, but I would not be afraid to debate these ministers that appear to be old rats in the mill, and yet they don't know the grinding wheel in the mill. You can get caught in the gears and the cogs of the word. And the Bible said the word will stop every mouth. Well, let me show you something here. Let's go, and we're talking about the eternal kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom coming. What kind of a Sabbath system are we going to install in the new kingdom? Peter talks here in 2 Peter 3:13 and Isaiah 65:17 about Yahweh's promise of the new earth and a new heaven. Isaiah 65 defines it. Peter confirms it in 2 Peter chapter 3:13. Now, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 66. What kind of a kingdom are we going to live in? What kind of kingdom are we going to get? Are we going to keep the Sabbath in the new kingdom, whether it be the kingdom of heaven in your understanding, or the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of Yahweh, which is the better word? All right, let's look. Well, it's the 22nd verse of Isaiah 66. Here's what it says. I ain't going on vacation. I ain't taking no trip. I'm here defending the word and the honor and the integrity of those that stand for the word. I am set for the defense of the gospel, which will stop every mouth. Now, here's what's going to happen. Face up to it, or rub this one out. Reach up and carry it out if this is not true. In the time, this is the kingdom that I will make in those days, saith Yahweh. Here's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Yahweh, coming in. Now, it came down out of heaven. The kingdom of God didn't go up into heaven like the saints used to float off on a cloud. When you die, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to live on in this heavenly environment of dimension time, where time doesn't exist. So it'll just be like yesterday, or a moment, or a fleeting second, but the time that you expire until the time that you come back with him, according to the Bible. Now, those that remain, remember there's going to be a changing and a moment of a twinkling of an eye. That's pretty fast. Where you're going to drop your physical bodies, your flesh and blood body, you're going to have a new body, likened unto his glorious body. Let's describe his glorious body. Okay? We know that he came with a perfect body. We know that he raised with a perfect body. The Bible said he did not see any corruption. Now, that's impossible for us, but it's possible for him. And so then he got the template, or the body that you're going to have. You're going to get already knows your robe size. Oh, yes, you're going to wear robes, and you're going to wear a crown. You're going to wear a ring, and you're going to wear sandals. There's a ring for your finger and new sandals for your feet in the coming kingdom that is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 66. Oh, hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Man, I'm still filled with joy about our the second Passover. Now, we've got another $5,000 to throw in before anybody can prove that the Messiah died in the first Passover, and yet they keep on keeping it. The ones that do keep it. And we've offered to debate that scripture, and nobody will come out of the woodwork. Where yet? My heavens! You're on vacation. Elijah went up on Mount Carmel in the 18th chapter of the book of First Kings, he cried against the prophets of Baal that was spitting out all this false crap. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what it is. I mean, it is stinking to high heaven with unbelief. Oh, I'm going to come. I'm going to give you something. I've got something for you, but I can't do it now. I'm going to do it later. Well, Elijah said, hey, cry a little louder. You know, back at that time, they still took vacations. But Isaiah wasn't on vacation. He was there to defend the word of Yahweh. He was there to repair the altar, which these billbox preachers wouldn't preach an altar. Now, we've got a booklet here that I said about last broadcast on Friday that we offer it to you. If you'd like to have this booklet on how to build one, you say, oh, it don't matter. Glory to God. Well, then what are we doing here? If it doesn't matter, why don't we just spiritualize everything in the Bible and be like these unbelieving bell boxes and just make pretend? Ladies and gentlemen, it's performance. It is performance based on the works that you have that are going to come up behind you and are going to go before you as an open record, and the books are going to be open, and you're going to be judged out of these things in the books. Well, I've got scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture where they built altars, and they were 12 stones on this altar. The names of the 12 tribes was written on these stones, and they were placed in a circle, in a covenant of salt, according to the 2 Chronicles 13 and 5. Well, where are we at here, ladies and gentlemen? Are we still in the days? We got this booklet, Return to the Circle, written by our good brother, our scribe up in Canada. We'd like to offer it to you if you would like to have it. It is a marvelous book on altar building. Tells you why, where, when, and how. And, you know, when you get to heaven, Yahweh's going to say, well, did you build you an altar? Oh, no, Lord, I went down there to them platform altars, and I prayed and got saved, glory to God. Lord, don't you love me? And he says in his own discourse in Matthew 24, many will come before me in that day and say, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works? And he's going to say, I never knew you. Listen to these Saturday Sabbath babblers. If you've got any boldness, why don't you come on and take this learner, the Sabbath preacher, on? Let's get it on. I ain't on vacation. I ain't taking no trip. I ain't hiding it on no web page, although I've got one. But I'm really preaching raw. I'm tonight raw, in the live, I'm in the live mode, I'm the now mode. And it says in Isaiah 66 that from one new moon, this is the new kingdom I'm preaching about. Get a grip here. Put the rubber to the road, and let's let this word speak for itself. That in the new millennial kingdom, praise Yahweh, hallelujah, I can shout to the top of the mountain and proclaim it, that this gospel with boldness will stop every mouth, whether it be righteous or unrighteous, whether it be knowledgeable or unknowledgeable. This gospel, There's enough of the written word to confirm it with the signs following and the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every word shall be established. From one new moon, oh, they throw that one out the door. But that's coming in the new millennial. You better get used to it. You won't be keeping Saturday there. You'll be keeping the new moon festival. Now, get over it. Why don't you quit kicking against the pricks of the anointing of the blessed ones who have got the boldness to stand up and bring it on and bring it out to reveal all truth and let the word speak and let every false mouth, every breath that is breathed out of the false prophets of the tradition or out of the 23rd chapter of their own mind that they're legends. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes more to be in a minister than just a little a document or some little piece of paper or some radio program. That don't make you a preacher. You got to be called with the gifts and the callings that are without repentance. And every man that is called into the word of Yahweh will preach what Yahweh says without reservation. Oh, that's hard. Oh, it was hard on me. But I conformed, I evolved, and I changed. If I ain't smarter today than I was 10 years ago, then there's something wrong. If I haven't changed my mind in 10 years, something's wrong. The Bible said to grow. Well, grow means change. And to grow in grace and knowledge. Well, what does it say in Isaiah 66? Those three verses, I would like for you to go there and look. What's going to happen in when the kingdom of Yahweh comes in? Now, it's going to be a kingdom that is called new heaven and new earth according to the Bible. Now, they're not a new material heaven or a new literal earth. It's not new. The Bible says it will be changed. The physical earth and the heavens were made perfect, and the Bible shows that they will remain forever according to Psalms 89, verse 36 and verse 37, and Psalms 104, verse 5. Read it for yourself. It's right in there. Now, why did the Messiah quote Psalms if Psalms is going to be changed or that ain't the way it is? The Messiah quoted out of the book of Psalms more than he quoted out of any book in the Bible. And according to Psalms 89, verse 36 and 37, the earth that is made now will remain forever. The only thing he's going to change, he's going to burn up everything that ain't like him. He's going to melt it with fervent heat that can't stand the heat and get out of the kitchen. And that's what this debate tonight's all about. If I was to lie to you and tell you that that in the coming kingdom, it's going to be on Saturday, and I can't read it in the Bible, but I say it anyway, who's a liar? Is it? Well, I'll tell you what, I can see now why that they hesitated about sending a cowboy. He's never asked me for one. I've got one, and if it can be proven wrong, I'd welcome it, because I want to get on the right page in the right day and the right time. But I want to do it according to the Bible. Well, here we've got 80 scriptures crammed into a Sabbath booklet that'll tell you what the Bible says and when to keep it, and yet here's Isaiah saying, in the new kingdom, in the new millennial, the day that the kingdom of God comes down, when Christ returns at the last trump, at the changing of the physical man of flesh and blood into a glorified body, likened unto your Messiah's glorious body. He had two eyes, he had two hands, he had hair on his head, he had two feet, he could eat and drink, according to the book of Acts 10:36. Oh, man, it's marvelous. 10:46. It's marvelous. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a promise here. Eternal life without sickness. Eternal life without death. Eternal life without tears. But we're going to have to do it according to the Bible and from one new moon. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Praise y'all. Man, I'm so glad I got back from the second Passover where we offer any man in shoe leather where he breathes the air of the Neshama, or when he has the breath of life in him, show us one scripture where that the Messiah died in the first Passover. We recommend you to search the scriptures. We've got teaching on the second Passover. It is a scriptural, biblical fact that the Messiah did not die in the first Passover. He was condemned to be numbered with the transgressors in the second Passover, and they killed him in the second Passover, and that's the one you should celebrate. That's the one we just got through celebrating, and I feel alive tonight. I feel marvelous that I can lift my voice with confidence, and I don't have to go on a vacation or promise you pie in the sky or post it on some obscure website. I can tell you right now, according to the Bible and the book of Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 23, from one new moon to the Sabbath. Now count the new moon. When it ends, you have your first crescent light. You work 6 days, and that'll be the first quarter. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a piece of mathematical genius. Yahweh hid it from the wise and the prudent, set up 1:8:15, 22, and 29, and these dumb preachers, dumb, get up and preach against the eighth day when the scriptures is full of the eighth day, and they rested on the eighth day.
There ain't no such thing.
They ain't. If you look at a Gregorian week, the Bible recommended that you keep a monthly calendar. You had the ninth day. You had the tenth day. You had the twelfth day. You had the 13th day.
Well, there's no such thing in the Bible. The Bible says that they kept a weekly Sabbath.
Bull crap. What about? They kept a Sabbath according to the lunar equations. And 80 scriptures worth against somebody that just got a Gregorian calendar and he wants to come and prove that Saturday is a Sabbath all of a sudden, when probably the first 30 years or more he kept Sunday. Make up your mind. Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? Or is it on a lunar Sabbath? Well, Isaiah, he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. Did he write wrong here? Ladies and gentlemen, somebody help me here. Can I read in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 46, the same formula that Isaiah promoted in the millennial to come? This is the new kingdom. This is when Saturday's going to be done with. This is when Sunday's going to be done with. And we're going to keep the millennial from one new moon until the next, the Sabbath.
Well, that just don't make sense. Like, you know, that's not a week. There's only 7 days in a week.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll ask you a question. After the Messiah rested on the seventh day, when was Adam created? Somebody, when was he made? Did Yahweh go back to work on the eighth day? Did he make the physical Adam that you see right now? Is he an eighth day creation? And Yahweh said, take heed lest any of you have an unbelieving heart that will not enter into my rest. When Adam was made on the eighth day, he was complete. He was perfect. It was the first Sabbath. And Adam rested. Yahweh rested because it was the work of his own hands, and because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. And we've got this marvelous revelation here in Isaiah. And 80 more scriptures. And you see why I'm bold? You see why I'm brash? You see why that I've got boldness? You know, read the book of Acts, chapter 4 and 5. And they spoke the word of Yahweh with boldness. You know why? Because they didn't have a bunch of tradition of Saturday and Sunday to hang on to. If I had Saturday, if I was a seventh-day Saturday keeper, according to the Gregorian Bible, I'd hang my head and go on a vacation too and hide it on some obscure website, because that's all you got. Ladies and gentlemen, where are we in this raging debate? Are we going to wait till the millennial kingdom to know that Yahweh is true, that his word is forever settled in heaven and nothing to be added to it and nothing taken away? And you tell me that we're going to keep Saturday in the new millennium when Yahweh said you're going to keep a new moon and you're going to keep the Sabbath?
Well, that's a horse of a different color, Pastor, buddy.
Well, let's read the 24th verse. I'm going to show you what's going to happen to these unbelieving heathen.
that will turn their ear from hearing the truth. And the Bible says, he that stiffens his neck and hardens his heart shall be destroyed, and that without remedy. Well, the 24th verse said, and then, after you get into the new millennial, that's the folks who's made it into the kingdom of God, which we're talking about tonight, when they made it in, then he said, you will go out and look at all the carcasses of those who wouldn't keep it and those who disobeyed. You will look at their fallen carcasses. That's what Yahweh thinks about these heathen that won't keep his lunars and won't keep his new moons.
Say, well, Pastor Buddy, we done away with that new moon, and the Jews don't keep it no more, and that ain't important no more, because they don't keep it, and I don't keep it.
I ain't following the Jews. I know there's people in the Bible calls themselves Jews and are not. You ever read that? Revelation 2 and 9, 3 and 9. You know, go to the Word, ladies. You get you some education. Get behind a preacher that'll preach you the truth and defend the integrity of the Word with a backbone like a saw log that won't buckle at the knees when some of these hip-hocks want to dance around and say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell you where the Scripture is. I'm going to prove it's wrong. I'm going to prove it's the error of a false doctrine. Ladies and gentlemen, that stirs me up when I hear a mealy-mouthed, a hypocrite come up and promise you some pie in the sky, or he's going to hide it somewhere that the average person can't find it. Well, I'm live tonight on WWRB 3.185, going around the world, Clear Channel, and we're streaming wherever you can get a hookup. Get you a shortwave. I promise you that WWRB is one of the strongest and most clearest channels, radio producing stations. The man that owns this station has got integrity. He's got backbone. And he don't advertise. You don't hear a lot of gold advertising, all this foolishness crap that you hear on these other shortwave stations. This station is for a gospel. It's for an open, live debate. Let's hear all sides of the issue. You know, the Messiah was controversial. They marveled and were astonished at his doctrine. And just because you haven't heard about the lunar Sabbath, the truth of the new moon worship, or the kingdom of God, it's coming down, and in the millennial, we're going to keep his day. We're going to keep his time. We're going to have a great time, according to the Bible. Now, if we go to Isaiah 55:11, notice this. The children will spread the paradise. We're going to have an inhabited place. We're going to live forever. We're not going to have pain. And the Bible said the righteous shall inherit the earth because it was made for the righteous. It's just going to take time to weed out the weeds, the tares, the unbelievers, the Saturday keepers, and the Sunday keepers, and those that will not conform to walk in and keep the lunar, new moon appointments, and the Sabbath appointments on the monthly calendar, not a weekly calendar. No wonder with that we can preach an eighth day in the Bible, and we can shout hallelujah. Where they get up and deny it can't exist because they're narrow-minded to say there's only 7 days in a week. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get real here. We're not talking about a week here. We're talking about the monthly appointments, 12 of them to be exact, 13 over 3 years for the lunar. And we've proven that day in and day out that the Gregorian calendar is a art, a piece of work contrived by the Catholic Church and advocated by the Seventh-day Adventists that says, yep, I know them Catholics wrong because they changed it to Sunday, glory to God. But they did get it right. Saturday is the Sabbath, and that's the day we worship. That's the pot calling the kettle black. That's jumping out of fire and getting back in the frying pan with the devil. The lunar Sabbath teaching will get you out of the lunar or the solar calendar of the Gregorian and get you into the lunar phase and the new moon phase of the millennial to come. Now notice then. When Yahweh prayed his prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, you can be confident that Yahweh says, "Thy will be done, thy kingdom come." Now, has the kingdom of God come yet? The answer is no. Is it going to come? The answer is yes. What is it going to be like? What are we going to do? Well, again, I refer you to Isaiah 66, verse 22 through 24. You read that. If I have done anything tonight to enhance your listening ears, and if you are an advanced student, if you want to study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and not taking man's opinion, not taking a piece of Gregorian crap like the Catholic calendar and trying to prove that Saturday is the Sabbath, that's idiotic. That's insane. That's asinine. That's like taking the kettle out and saying that the pot ain't black. Or getting out of the fire and jumping into the frying pan and sizzling and sizzling and sizzling and then trying to say that the frying pan is wrong because you're in the fire. Ladies and gentlemen, when you put to people's feet these prophets, one thing I can't stand is an idiotic false prophet. Did you know, in according to Jeremiah chapter 23, that these lion shepherds mentioned in the Bible, you reckon some of them will be liars today, and you reckon somebody that's bold enough to call them a liar and challenge them to a debate that they won't get in the action-packed ring and slug it out word for word, scripture for scripture, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? That's what it's going to take to get you the confidence and to get you in the know of really what if I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you the truth. I'd hide behind some woman's skirt tail or get in some big fancy church and preach you the tradition of a Gregorian calendar and preach you Saturday or Sunday. In most cases, some preach both. I used to work with a bunch of Seventh-day Adventists. They won't work on Sunday. I used to worship with a lot of Sunday people who wouldn't work on Saturday, or vice versa. Ladies and gentlemen, it's almost a they give you two lies, and then you spend the rest of your life trying to offend one or the other. Two wrongs don't make a right. A right can never be wrong. You're either right or wrong. You're either hot or cold. You're up or down. You're in or out. You're on or off. And let's decide what the Bible has got to say. He made us a promise that we will possess the earth and we will reside forever upon it. If you want a verse of scripture to reference that, go to Psalms 37, verse 29. Oh, my. Listen to me. God's kingdom, Yahweh's kingdom, has all the earthly benefits that it was initially just put on hold. Yahweh is withholding eternal life until the kingdom come. Now, if we got eternal life, we're never going to die. We don't have to go to the hospital anymore. Hospital's going to disappear. Nursing homes, praise Yahweh. Oh, my, how I feel that anointing. All these nursing homes, all these feeble old folks. You won't look in the mirror and look in a trillion, billion, zillion, trillion, hundreds of billions of ever how many years. You will never look a day older. You are what you are by the grace of Yahweh. You're forever in the kingdom. You will reside. The righteous will possess the earth and will reside in it forever. And I'll give you the reference of Psalms chapter 37, verse 29. Oh, my. I get so, when I read these promises and I read these things, it makes even my heart leap for joy. It's joy unspeakable. And I know it's going to be the worship system. It's not going to be the Gregorian calendar. And everybody thinks that in the new kingdom that we're going to have a calendar from Sears Roebuck or some First National Bank. It ain't going to be that way, ladies and gentlemen. There won't be no Gregorian calendar in Yahweh's time count.
Yahweh tells you what kind of time count he's got from one new moon. Now, I just got so thrilled at the brothers that blew the shofar on the new moon when we started. And they blew the shofar throughout the 8 days, not 7 days, ladies and gentlemen. On the 8th day, you shall have a holy convocation. Well, you can't have it on a weekly Sabbath. They didn't do that. You can't have one of those holy days. Because they ain't got no day for it. So they deny it exists because they ain't got no plan to tell you. Well, I got a plan. I got the Bible. And I ain't afraid to use it. And I'll use it. And I can cut with a sword with the best of them. And the Bible said, woe to the shepherds that will fail to bring blood. I'm not just going to wound you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to stop your mouth with the word of Yahweh. I'm going to completely slay the giants of unbelief in your heart. I've got to take the sword and cut out all the unbelief. And if it takes a hard saying, so be it. I didn't come to patty cake. I didn't come to go on vacation. I didn't come to promise you pie and sky in the sky. I didn't promise you no Saturday Sabbath in the new millennial because I can't read it. If you can, bring it on. And let's get to the bottom of the cup here and see what's in the teacup. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been around the rim of the teacup looking for the handle, and I found it, and it's based on Isaiah 66, verse 22, 23, and 24. And the application of Ezekiel chapter 46, verses 1 and 2. That's a formula. Oh, you never hear them bring it. You know what? They don't agree with their Saturday and Sunday junk. That's junk. That's the Catholic theology. That's the kettle and the pot, one calling the other black, and both of them in the fire. That's the frying pan. Both of them in the frying pan, and both of them in the fire of unbelief. And boy, how it sizzles. You know, it sizzles them. Yeah, they get on vacation real quick. They're going to do something. They're going to tell you the error and the wickedness of the lunar Sabbath and the false prophets that teach it. Well, I'm the one that teaches it. You want to call me a false prophet? Let's prove it. Make me out to be a false prophet. Get the word. And I'll repent. I'll fast. I fasted for 40 days at a time. I think another 40-day fast could come on if I'm proven wrong and this ain't right and there's some other way or some other timetable that's mentioned in the Bible and you can prove it in the mouth of two or three witnesses and if you can give me a day to keep the Sabbath other than 8:20 or 8:15:22 or 29, bring it. I wanna spend some man's money. I got a friend that promises me that he'll pay the reward if you'll prove it. It'd be worth that to him, and it's worth that to me. I'd probably pay half of it on his behalf. I would do that. If you could prove a Sabbath other than eight, the eighth day, oh, it don't exist in the Bible. How could eighth day exist? There ain't no Bible for it. Well, get real. I mean, I've spent hours preaching on the eighth day, revelation of the scriptures. They rested on the 8th day. They rested on the 15th day. They rested on the 22nd day. They rested on the 29th day. And if you'll read, there is 7 days between the 60 work days to work on the 7th day to keep it, and then the 8th day that you count of the point of that reverence of the Sabbath, it would be 8 days stationed between the two. It's very simple mathematics, and yet the blind can't see. And the dumb came here. Now listen, hatred is going to cease, prejudice is going to cease, and everyone that remains will be brothers and sisters. And there are no strangers in the land. Did you know that the Bible says that from one new moon to the next, the Sabbath, we're all going to be brothers and sisters of a common faith? That we're not going to jump out of a frying pan and get in the fire. It's those people that burn in the fire that we're going to walk on their ashes that we don't have that. You understand that? 24th verse of Isaiah 66. Man, notice in Psalms 46, verse 9, nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore. We're not going to have any of these Edomites trying to kill all of the Israelite brothers on the earth. I'm talking about the Aryan race of Jacob, Israel, the blushing kind. Ah, how wonderful it is. Praise Yahweh. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, for reference of nation will not lift up sword. We're not going to fight each other anymore. We're not going to war anymore. We ain't going to study war no more. We're going to beat our swords into plowshares. We're going to inhabit. We're going to plant. We're going to build. We're going to build a new kingdom. And the earth is going to blossom and bloom. There'll be no more weeds. There'll be no more tares. The whole earth will be brought back to the paradise state that it was meant. The earth will yield. And listen, folks, the Greeks, one part of them in this paradise environment. It would take two men to pack them in the days of Israel. That's when they went into the land of milk and honey. Think about when the earth yields its precious fruit. The nectar, and you say, "Oh, we ain't gonna do that in the kingdom. We're gonna be laying up on a cloud somewhere way up in heaven, Pastor Buddy. And we're gonna play our proverbial harps, and we're just gonna float around like a little butterfly, and glory to God and all that crap." Ladies and gentlemen, that's not real. Ain't way Yahweh designed it. He designed Adam to live forever, and though he died in the physical, he will live again. There is an inward man and the outward man. The outward man is going back to the dust, and the inward man is going to possess the earth if he's loved Yahweh and kept his commandments, and it's recorded. For in the wilderness, waters will have their bursting out, and torrents in the desert plain, and the heart or the heat parched ground will become as a pool, and the thirsty ground will be springs of water. Isaiah 35:1-6. Oh man, I read that and I tingle. I just had a wonderful time at Passover. One of the greatest and most marvelous uplifting Passovers I've ever been in. And I've kept many of them over the years. And this one was brothers and sisters. Not one devil showed his head. I was so thankful. The brothers and sisters came together. They cooked. They sang. They sacrificed. They ate the body of the lamb. We didn't need no ham. We didn't bake Easter hams. We didn't keep the traditional Easter. We kept the second Passover. We're going to be a lot to be happy about. The paradise of the new earth. Never again will people hunger and lack for food. Nobody's going to starve to death. He said, "I have meat to eat, you know not of." Praise Yahweh. But he said, "I'll eat and drink it new with you in the kingdom when I come." He's coming back, and I look forward to the day I'm going to lift a cup. And I'm going to eat the bread in remembrance of his body, and we're going to praise him on the new moon. Oh, hallelujah, I'm going to shout. When they blow the eternal shofar, you talk about the angels, you talk about the choirs, you talk about the obedience, you talk about the royalty, you talk about kings, you talk about queens, you talk about the red carpet treatment, you talk about eternal life, you talk about eating the fruit that we will earn. Says they will plant, and no one else will do the eating. We will eat the fruit of our own hands. Isaiah 66:21-22. Yahweh's going to bless you, people. We're going to have a great time. Now I've got to get off here. My time is coming gone, and I'd like to tell you tonight. You're listening to Pastor Buddy and Shepherd. Man, I've really felt the Holy Spirit. Yahweh's so good and kind to us, and I love you very much. If I didn't, I want to tell you the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to announce tonight, we do have a website. I'd like to tell you what it is. Just go to oneyahweh.com. Now, webmaster Brother Bob is posting daily messages, working, updating. We're updating our equipment. We're enhancing. A brother in Michigan purchases a projector, and it's awesome. We're going to, hopefully by next Tabernacles, which is coming up in October, we're going to have all the messages updated and the professional videos that we're going to make for you.
And we're going to teach you on the projector, show you scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept. What a wonderful time we're having. How we're energized with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit that, that's give us joy unspeakable and full of glory. So, you remember, oneyahweh.com. Plug it in. Every message that we preached from 209 is posted up except this one tonight, and it'll be up sometime tomorrow. So, that's how fast that we're putting the messages up for you. If you'd like to hear it again, you got a computer, go up to oneyahweh.com, click on it, listen to our messages that we have posted for your benefit, and if there's any error in the teaching, I stand responsible. Yahweh bless you and give you understanding of what we're trying to do. Now, my radio contact, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. And ladies and gentlemen, you can call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. I'm live. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, I had a brother out of Chicago, a truck driver, driving down through the middle of Chicago. I was talking to him on the radio the other night, and he said, Pastor Buddy, you're coming in loud and clear right in the middle of Chicago, Illinois. And that made me feel so good that this truck driver would take time out and just give us a radio check, and it made me feel so good. We're waiting on your call. If you'd like to call and if you'd like information that we have available for you, just call Pastor Buddy. Area code 423-626-2172. Now, again, you can write me, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. We love you very much. We'll see you Friday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Central, alive again with part two of the kingdom. Has it come? Well, the kingdom of heaven is set up on the day of Pentecost, but the kingdom of God is yet to come. That's going to be the conclusion when Yahweh weeds out all the weeds and the tares, and they won't be one Edomite left in the kingdom. Oh, I can shout. I can praise Yahweh. Miss Linda, if you're listening to me tonight, I thank you for this wonderful song you've sent me. I love Yahweh. If you love him, keep his commandments, ladies and gentlemen, and you will have the right to say, from one new moon to the next in a new millennial kingdom, you can lift your voice and say, I made it to the kingdom. And you'll walk on the ashes of those that refuse to walk in and keep the new moon in a lunar Sabbath. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you.